Shalom, shalom. Many, many blessings of peace. This is Dr. Akiva Gamliel of B'nai Noach Torah Institute and Ruach HaOr Audiovisual Lending Library. Thank you for joining with me. Our discussion is entitled Jesus' Birth as Viewed from HaTorah. And this is part six. Part six is entitled Each After Its Own Kind. And our discussion is in the loving memory of Mrs. Ethel Sakash Belk, Mrs. Hannah Horvat, Lily Horvat, Arkos Horvat. May they rest in peace. Dear ones, we're going to conclude our section of discussing about how the Torah views the birth of Jesus. And in doing that, we want to return to where we began, talking about species and talking about each after its own kind. There are 10 words that I'm going to give you to view, to reference. Each have the same shorish, that's root, and each mean species. So if you'd like to look up the word kind, K-I-N-D, in your Strong's Concordance, or if you want to go simply to the reference 4327, you're certainly welcome to do that, to verify that in fact this is what it means. We're going to begin with Bereshit Aleph, Yud Aleph, that's chapter 1, verse 11. There it says, Elohim said, God said, let the earth sprout grass, seed-yielding herbs, fruit trees bearing fruit, and then the words that we're looking at, word number 12 and 13, peri lemino. The word lemino is each after its own kind. And that's the word that we're going to be examining. And if you want, again, go to Strong's, you're welcome to do that to verify that we're not misrepresenting this. That's 40. Now let's go to Bereshit 1:12. The earth brought forth grass, herb-yielding seed of its kind, and trees bearing fruit, which has its own seeds of its kind, and God saw that it was good. Let's look at the words. The first word we're going to count, we're beginning on the right-hand side in Pasuk Yudbet, that's 12. So we're going to count word 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The seventh word is Liminehu. Liminehu means each after its own kind. Then we go on down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 words, and we have the word again. Li minehu, each after its own kind. Then we move forward a little bit, all the way up to Bereshit 1, 21. And you go there, and again you read, and thus God created the great whales and every living creature that creeps, with which the waters teem. And then the word is liminehem, at each after its kind. And every winged bird. And what does it say there? Laminehu, each after its kind. Then we go ahead to verse 24, Pasuk 24. God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures, liminea, each after its kind. Animals of the pasture, creeping things, and beasts of the earth, liminea, each after its own kind. Then we go forward to 25, and it was so, is what it says. It concludes, and it was so. And then 25 says, and thus God made the beasts of the earth, liminea, each after its kind, and the animals of the pasture, liminea, each after its kind, and every thing that creeps on the ground, liminehu, each after its kind, and God saw that it was good. What we're looking at here, as we're looking at the fact that the Creator of the universe made every species unique unto its own self, and that the Creator of the universe said, hey, I don't want these species mixed up. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to review for just a few minutes as to why it's impossible for Jesus' birth to have transpired in the way that it did. And we're going to review why it's impossible that God could be Jesus' Father, or that Jesus could be God, God forbid, and why the New Testament is not founded on HaTorah. First, the New Testament, after you listen to all six of these audios, these lessons, you'll recognize there are very definite differences about what HaTorah teaches, and it certainly does not agree with the New Testament. So it's very clear that the Torah disagrees, and that the New Testament disagrees with HaTorah. HaTorah is authoritative. David HaMelech wrote in Tehillim 19, Torat Hashem Tamima, which means the Torah of Hashem is perfect. The Hebrew says Torah. It doesn't say law. It doesn't say word. It says Torat Hashem Tamima. So the Torah is the only book that we can actually say. That's Bereshit, Genesis. That's Shemot, Exodus. Vayikra, Leviticus. Bamidbar, Numbers. And Devarim, Deuteronomy. These are the only five books that we can say are perfect. They represent God's will. They represent what God intends. And so HaTorah teaches differently about the issues of species than the New Testament. The New Testament teaches that it's okay to engraft, and HaTorah forbids engrafting. The New Testament teaches that you can mix species, that you can mix seed. The New Testament says that God implanted his seed within a woman. That would be mixing seed, God forbid. Torah doesn't permit that. God teaches against that. That's considered an avera, a very serious sin. As we discussed in our earlier lessons, that's considered perversion. It's considered abomination. That's why we do not believe that God could do such a thing. We've also stated that God is Echad. God is one. God does not reproduce. And that's the nature of being Echad, being one. We've stated that when God made this world, that he completed the world, and that the world was finished. And when God completes the world, that means that there's nothing that you really can add to it. In fact, the only thing that you can do is make the world a place that would be uninhabitable, a place that would be bad, because when God says it's finished, you have to take into account this is God, the creator of the universe, who's saying everything is finished, everything is completed. And that's what we have to remember. This is the creator that's making this proclamation. Okay? Now, once we talk about each species being unto its own kind, then we come back to what we were discussing earlier today, just a few minutes ago, and that was that God created each species just like its kind. Limineha, Liminehu, Liminechem, each after its own kind. The Torah, as in Vayikra 18:23, we show how it is forbidden for a human being to to mix their seed with an animal. It's how it's forbidden for a woman to entice an animal to copulate with her. We talked in Vayikra 19:19 about how it's forbidden to mix seed, how it's of your animals, how it's forbidden to mix seed of the field that you sow into the field, and how one is not permitted to wear a garment with wool and linen. This is all considered mixing seed, and it's forbidden by HaTorah and considered an abomination, a perversion. We discussed how when God completed the world, and when God finished making everything, that each species was unique to its own kind. We went on to discuss how God is holy. And we defined that God is holy, and we defined that God's ways are not our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And that God's ways and God's thoughts are much higher than our ways and our thoughts. And so the point is that God, who sets the example for us, he says to be holy like he is holy. So God, who sets the example for us and who forbids these things on a lower level, we learned that logically could not happen on a higher level. And we use the example of Michael, do not cross this simple street. And the example was, if Michael could not cross the simple street, he could not cross the avenue, he could not cross the boulevard or the freeway. However, if his mother said, you can cross the six-lane freeway, then all the other streets are certainly okay for him to cross. Well, HaTorah says that it's not okay to mix seeds. It's not okay for human beings to mix seeds with animals, bestiality. HaTorah says it's not okay for angels and human beings to mix their seed. And God destroyed the world because of that. And all the animals and all the people there that had mixed their seed were erased forever, never to be remembered again, taken out of Sefer Chaim, the Book of Life. And so we know that because God is holier than us, God would not do that. So as we look at this entire picture, we looked at the marriage of Jesus and Mary based on what a Jewish wedding is, realizing that very few individuals would have any knowledge whatsoever of what was done 2,000 years ago in marriage. We talked about arusin, how arusin is an engagement. And we showed in the New Testament where Jesus and Mary were engaged, and their engagement was an arusin. And that an arusin required simply, you have to give rings before witnesses. You have to sign a ketubah. A ketubah is a legal binding document in front of witnesses. You have some wine, say bracha. You're officially engaged, but you're also married. And that the difference between arusin and engagement is, an engagement, all you need to do is simply say, hey, here is your rings back. Here is whatever you've given me. I'm giving it back to you. Or you can simply say, I'm keeping the rings. I'm keeping everything. And I'm breaking the engagement off. You don't have to go to court. You don't have to get a divorce. You don't have to do anything unusual. However, in observant Judaism, when we have an arusin, that means that you have to go to a bet din, a Jewish court, and actually get a get, a Jewish divorce. Today, the arusin and the kiddushin are both performed under the chuppah at the same time, in most instances. There are still Hasidic families that do it as I have described, but generally speaking today, it's done at the same time. But 2,000 years ago, they were both separate. The arusin would happen. The young people would be married. They'd be separated. They'd be apart. They would not be allowed to be together at any time, under any circumstances, so they couldn't travel to Bethlehem together. Okay, and we also talked about how young people have parents, and parents take the responsibility for their children being married. And we discussed the issues that each parent would have to go through and the steps that would be expected. And then we talk about how there are witnesses when you have the kiddushin, how the young couple go into a room to physically consummate their marriage, and that the witnesses put down the bedcloth. The bedcloth is so that when the young lady and the young man exchange with each other sexually, there'll be blood on the cloth. They'll give it to the father. That will be evidence that she was a virgin. And these are the things that were absent. We pointed out that the parents that were, and the grandparents and the relatives and all the family and friends, they were all disappeared in the story of Jesus' birth. And that wouldn't be the case. And we said, just go to the Torah, just read the stories, and you'll see all the presence of the parents involved in the different marriage of the children. We talked about, it was very obvious that Mary was pregnant. It was also very obvious to the community, because, I mean, you're not living in a community of a million people where people can just dissolve and kind of go into the woodwork and you really don't know them. You're talking about small communities. You're talking about a community where Joseph would go and pray every day in a particular synagogue, a temple, where Mary would go and be with the women. And you're talking about exposure in a community. And once it became obvious that Mary was pregnant, the community itself would take certain actions and would be expected to take certain actions. And so there's so many different things that just simply do not match the story that's told in the New Testament. This is how the Torah views the birth of Jesus. Some of the areas that we really didn't discuss would be, for example, the area of the virgin birth. We didn't go there because we really felt like the whole story, if you recognize it for what we've said, you never even really get to that point. That particular discussion is something that did not have anything to do with Jesus. And then you can get into the terms of, is it virgin or is it young woman? And then you can get into the discussion of, a young woman is usually a virgin, which is accurate, okay? And so, you know, I didn't feel that it was necessary to go into that particular discussion. I think that the evidence that we've presented, I think the facts that we have presented speak for themselves. So, having said this, then we recognize that the New Testament is basically alleging that God impregnated Mary, which is mixing the seed, and that's forbidden. God has a higher standard than we have. And if God forbids us to do it, certainly God himself would not do that. In addition to that, we said that if Mary was pregnant, she was a married woman, that would be considered adultery. Again, God would not do that. Even the New Testament says you should avoid all appearances of evil. And we defined what righteous and holy were in one of our lessons. And we showed how God was so much holier than everyone on earth. And so we're showing how God has this great, vast space of separation from how God does things from that of how mankind does things. We went on to show that if Mary were impregnated, that would be considered adultery, and that the penalty for adultery when she's a married woman would be death. And we talked about how the angel appeared to Joseph and told Joseph that God impregnated his wife. You know, if Joseph was a knowledgeable man, and I would have to think that he was somewhat knowledgeable, he would recognize that this would be an absolute ridiculous story. It could not be possible. And so we just see lots of issues where things unfolded that really could not have taken place based on just everyday observance of HaTorah, of Jewish people that have observed HaTorah ever since Har Sinai. This is just simply the way that it's done. And that's why we do not believe in Jesus. And that's why we do not believe that Jesus is God. And that's why we do not accept the New Testament as being authoritative. We do not consider it Scripture. So, having said all of this, dear ones, you have a choice to make. You have a choice to research the things that I have indicated to you to verify if they're accurate or inaccurate. You have a choice. You have to recognize, and you can see it in black and white. And quite honestly, I've only given you about 15 different reasons why. And there are well over 100 reasons that I could give you that are why it's impossible for Jesus to be who the New Testament claims he is. I thank you for joining with me. And if you would like to take a class at B'nai Noach Torah Institute, we welcome you to sign up for a class and to pay the fees and to come and learn from us. Thank you very much. Shalom. Shalom.